The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
So many people do not understand the dangers that basically are lurking in our mouths when we have toxic substances and all put in our mouths, not to mention undiagnosed infections. And for those of us who keep up with natural medicine, we've been reading and seeing more about how important it is that we don't have infections. So it's gaining traction. This knowledge is gaining traction out there. Now, Dr. Wolf, how important is it really that we have our mouths checked to make sure that we don't have any underlying infections or hidden infections? And if we do, of course, you know, we don't want infections anywhere. That's just common sense. But it's really, really important that we keep our mouths free from infections. And why is that?
Well, basically, an infection in the mouth has a free reign over the rest of the body because it can get into the bloodstream through the sublingual veins underneath the tongue and mucosa, the tissues of the mouth. This bacteria in your mouth, which is actually the dirtiest place in your body, can transmit bacteria through your body through the bloodstream. It's called bacteremia. And this is a routine dental concept. It's taught in dental schools. People with higher incidence of tartar and plaque and periodontal disease in the mouth also have higher instances of obesity, diabetes, children with low birth rates, issues that can go on and on. But if you have a weakness systemically in your body or a genetic propensity for something, and that organ is not nourished well, and has a bacterial count that comes from your mouth, it can certainly be a target for bacteremia. I feel that dental disease is a systemic disease. It's not just localized to the mouth. It's certainly through the acupuncture meridian system, too, that we'll talk about, the energetics that run through the mouth. The mouth is extremely important to the total health of your body because teeth are connected to organ systems and ligaments and joints and organs, etc., through the energetic matrix, the acupuncture meridian system.
The system that runs through our bodies energetically that connects organs to one another. But now I want you to back up just a minute. Now this is the first I've heard of this, which of course there's a lot of things I hadn't heard of yet, but You're connecting tartar and things like that to things like obesity and all. Now, where is that connection? Because I know I'm interested in that. I know a lot of people would be wanting to know where that connection. How is that connected?
Because if you have bacteria that are affecting your pancreas and you're not producing the enzymes that you require, if it's bacteria affecting your thyroid, your metabolism's down, they're just finding that more relationships between the higher the bacteria mouth in count in your mouth, the more propensity for systemic disease there is. And this was done at Johns Hopkins University. So I'm sure out there on the internet for anyone to see. We're not talking about any type of extreme dentistry here. We're talking mainstream dentistry.
Okay. Yeah. Now, so do you think, you know, we have a lot of, and I know there's various reasons for it. I think probably fluoride is one of the main reasons. But do you think these dental infections could be a reason we're having so much hypothyroidism in America?
It can be, and not just dental infections, but other issues that affect the thyroid through the mouth. Yeah. And we're talking about, again, the meridian system. We're talking about the toxins in the mouth. There was a study done many years ago on radioactively tagged mercury fillings placed into animals' mouths, particularly dogs. And then when the mercury vaporized out of the fillings, which happens routinely because mercury is the only metal that's liquid at room temperature, and it does vaporize. And if it's radioactively tagged, then the scientists could follow where does this mercury go. And they found that in 4 minutes, it was in the thyroid. And this was a study done in dogs many years ago. So actually, that's one of the first glands hit when you have mercury leaking out of, quote, silver amalgam fillings.
Yeah.
And then if there's any blockage of meridians in the mouth, which would be the upper molars or the thyroid teeth, that can also inhibit the ability of the thyroid to be as healthy as it can be. And then the other issues, radiation, et cetera, that can affect the thyroid, iodine levels. So then we're getting away from dentistry and mainstream medicine. So, you know, everybody that listens to your show needs to see this as a chance to go to their highest health, you know, understand the mouth and how it can affect their systemic health. Have a physician that, that understands that you know, the body is a holistic unit. What a unique concept. I mean, the mouth is part of your body. And that when you have an issue with an organ, the associated tooth needs to be looked at also, because teeth affect organs and organs affect teeth. And if the listeners would go to my website, drwolfe.com, just drwolfe.com, and look at the page, the link, that shows the dental chart. It's the interrelationships between organs and teeth. And there's a whole chart they can download, and it will show the energetic interrelationships, the columns of all the teeth and all the organs and how they interrelate, their gallbladder teeth, stomach teeth, large intestine teeth, lung teeth, heart teeth, etc.
Okay, now are they connected through the acupuncture meridians?
The teeth, yes, the energetic grid, right,
Yeah, and so now this mercury fillings, I wanted to ask about that. And a lot of people, I think more and more people are beginning to understand, but people don't realize just how dangerous these things are. I mean, mercury is the second toxic metal in existence. And why they started putting it in our teeth to start with is still beyond me. And when I was a child, I had several fillings. I had a mouthful of mercury fillings. Now, I've since had them removed, although I do have one cap, that an older cap. I've had a lot of them replaced, but I have one old one left, and there may be a mercury filling under that, but other than that, I've had them removed. And I went to a biological dentist to do that. And just how what is mercury? I mean, that can affect your brain, and you also talk about mercury vapor. And I know you've done some research on this, and like you said, you talked about on your site. What is this mercury vapor doing, and how does it? I've seen videos myself on this, where any little thing can cause this vapor to escape, you know, from your tooth, can't it? I mean, like hot things and cold things. So tell us about that a little bit more.
Well, we used to take, and we still do, take mercury vapor readings on fillings to demonstrate to people that indeed there is a mercury component in the filling. People didn't used to believe this in the 70s. And now there's a lot more press about it, and people are much more educated, and they understand that there is mercury component in the quote silver amalgam filling. But back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was my first mercury vapor tester, and it had been used on me after I'd had my tumor surgery in the 70s. That's the reason I got into all this, because I was very sick. And as I was trying to find out how I could not have a tumor again, I went to see a dentist named Dr. Hal Huggins, and he was in Colorado Springs. And I was going there to learn balancing body chemistry. And as a part of his program, he had a mercury vapor tester there, and since he knew most of the dentists were at that time mercury dentists, as I was too, he had us hold our hands up to the mercury vapor tester. And I had mercury vapor coming out of my skin, out of my hands. I've been out of the office 3 days, and I was still vaporizing mercury that was higher than threshold limit value that OSHA could fine you for. So that was pretty scary. It was higher than 50 micrograms per cubic meter of air.
Yeah, I bet that scared you to death.
Well, it took me about 5 seconds to become a mercury-free dentist.
Yeah, I'll
I didn't
bet.
Know what to do.
I'll bet.
So I bought a mercury vapor tester, and they're not cheap. Now I think they're about $8,500 by then. I don't know what they were, but it's still expensive. It's not a dental unit. It's an industrial unit that OSHA would use to go into the workplace and scan your workplace. If you had more than 50 micrograms per cubic meter of air, you would be fined $10,000 and your plant closed down. Well, I find that much out of many times one tooth.
Wow.
So,
what's that doing to us?
It's not helping them. Certainly, you know, if you have mercury vaporizing and your teeth are you know, just a few millimeters away from the base of your brain, that's not good.
No, it's not good.
So I wrote a letter to the U.S. Department of Labor, OSHA, in November 26, 1986. Here's the letter that I got back. I wrote them and I asked them, is the same mercury vapor I'm reading coming from the mouth the same as the environmental poison that is in the environment and pronounced to be an environmental poison that's worse than arsenic or lead? The letter I got back says, the following information is submitted in response to your inquiry of November 20th, 1986, regarding differences between extraoral and intraoral mercury vapor exposure and measurement. OSHA standard for mercury exposure is designed for measurement of mercury vapor within a person's breathing zone, and measurements to determine compliance with the standard would always be performed on an extraoral basis. The standard is based on American National Standards Institute. It goes on. Here's the important part. Although there would be no difference between mercury vapor measured inside the mouth and outside the mouth, the exposure potential of intraoral mercury would be much greater than that of extraoral, outside of the mouth, mercury vapor, as mercury is toxic through the routes of absorption and ingestion, as well as by inhalation. So this was signed by Gilbert Saltier, who's a regional administrator in 1986 for OSHA from Dallas, Texas. So they were on to it back then, even though the American Dental Association didn't admit that mercury vapor comes out of the fillings back then. Now they do. This was such a small amount, you can't prove it causes any certain disease.
But you wouldn't want any. That's the point. It doesn't matter if it's just a little bit. You don't want any mercury vapor.
Yeah, well, you know, the point is the World Health Organization says there is no minimum amount of mercury that can be considered safe in the human body.
Yeah.
So it's true. You can't prove it causes any certain disease except what you have a genetic propensity, a weakness for. So in my quest, I started sticking mercury vapor testing just on basically all my patients and keeping records, thinking I could find out that the larger the filling, the larger the mercury vapor release, and or the older the filling, you know, the less vapor release. But really, I didn't find anything that was significant because the older, the larger, the small one still had a lot of vapor release. It was mercury. That's why they call it chronic micromercurialism. In other words, long time, low dose, but it's cumulative.
Cumulative. Oh,
and
wow.
So it's something that we are fortunate here in Albuquerque that we have a physician near us that does heavy metal testing and can chelate not only the mercury but the lead and the arsenic and the uranium, all these things that we are picking up in our lives and dragging around with us, suppressing our immune systems.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things. It's suppressing the immune system, which that's going to set you up for any type of illness. I mean, you're just, you know, like a sitting duck. Well, we're going to take just a quick break right now. We're going to pause for a station break. So you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And I want to remind everybody to follow me on Twitter at Podcast for Life and to sign up for my newsletter. You can go to themisdiagnosedlife.com and sign up there. And we will be right back.
We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. Well, we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample or just go to americaoutloud.com and click the large banner ad and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home.
Okay, I'm here today with Dr. Wolf and we're talking about these hidden infections that can be in our teeth and gums and how important it is to have a healthy mouth, which, of course, we all want a healthy mouth. But, you know, we're learning today that there's acupuncture meridians that run from the teeth to specific organs in our body. And then, of course, infections can get in our bloodstream from our mouth and go all over the body and cause problems. So it's really, really important that we educate ourselves on, you know, you could say biological dentistry, because there's so many things, and we've just been covering, talking about these infections, and we've just been talking about mercury fillings and how that mercury is so toxic, and more people are beginning to wake up on that that fact that mercury is toxic, and more dentists, I think, are going away from using those as fillings. And another thing, too, I want to talk a little bit more about that, and then we'll move to some other things, because there's so many different things. There's root canals, there's problems with that, and other things. I also have an article here that talks about, from Green Med Info, it talks about Wi-Fi devices that increase mercury release from the dental fillings, from the mercury fillings. And so that's a problem, and that's something that a lot of people hadn't even thought of. And these Wi-Fi devices are causing so many different problems with people. And we can just add that to one more to the list of the problems that these Wi-Fi devices are causing. And also mercury. It's my understanding mercury expands. And Dr. Wolf, you can comment on this, but when you put mercury fillings in the teeth, over time, doesn't that expand? And if the mercury in your mercury fillings expand, that can crack your teeth. That's my understanding. And if your teeth crack, of course, you're going to need a crown. And I think that's what's happened to me. And I remember when I was younger, I think I was a teenager, I overheard this dentist saying, you know, I'm going to have a lot of problems with my teeth, you know, kind of indicating as I got older. And I didn't understand what he meant by that. But now I think I do, because, like I said, I had several mercury fillings, and now I've got several caps. Of course, I've got pretty much all of them, the mercury out of my mouth. But I have caps because my teeth started cracking. Now, is this one of the problems with mercury fillings? Not to mention it's the second toxic metal in existence, but it also cracks your teeth. And so I guess that's good for the dentist for, you know, return business, but it's not good for the patients and, you know, pocketbook. What
well,
about that?
The whole amalgam filling swells as it absorbs moisture. See, the amalgam filling was our basic filling. You know, came here in 1826 and actually was adopted by the American Society of Dental Surgeons. And members were required to sign a pledge promising not to, required to use this device. Now, this was back in early times. It's hard to believe we've been using the same material since 1826. But finally, in 1840, the American Society of Dental Surgeons was formed, and members were required to sign a pledge promising not to use mercury fillings. And that's when things started changing. But before that, all we had besides gold was this amalgamation of silver, tin, zinc, copper, mercury, etc. And plugging that into a tooth, and if the amalgam swelled, which it doesn't have a good seal, there's always corrosion around the amalgam filling. And that's the only reason it lasts, because it corrodes and seals off the edge between the filling and the tooth. And as a result of this swelling, the tooth can crack. We usually see microfractures around the fillings in the tooth. The other thing is the mercury itself can kill the nerve. So if the tooth doesn't crack and break, and sometimes the mercury devitalizes the tooth. So,
what should people use? What should people
use
to replace that?
I haven't used a mercury filling since the 70s.
Yeah.
I use composites. We use ceramics, ceramic inlays, ceramic crowns. They're very good materials now. That we don't need to even have metals in our mouth anymore.
Yeah, but people usually have to go to a biological dentist to have that done, correct?
Well, this is a point of a misunderstanding. Now, there are many dentists out there that say they're mercury-free dentists because they're cosmetic dentists, and they're putting in white fillings instead of mercury fillings. No, they're not removing the mercury fillings unless you want them removed, but they're just not putting in mercury fillings. So that's good, but people need to be educated that these mercury fillings they have, if they were educated about the history of the fillings, about like the reason I bought a mercury vapor tester was to demonstrate the mercury coming out of the fillings, that and take them out safely, because when you take out a mercury filling, there's a lot of mercury vapor that is the patient can be exposed to and the dentist. And in my office, we have a mercury vapor vacuum that fits over the front of the patient's face. We have high-speed evacuation tubes. We're wearing gas masks. I mean, we get very serious about this.
Yeah. And I was going to say, it's very important that that people, well, number one, gets the mercury removed from their teeth, but also you don't just go to any dentist to have that done. You need to go to a biological dentist and even check them out to make sure that they're going to remove the mercury in the proper way so that you won't get more exposure to mercury, because you can get more exposure by them removing the mercury filling if they don't do it correctly. And if you're already weakened, some people actually get really, really sick when they have these mercury fillings removed, because they're already sick and weak, and then they get more exposure, and it can send them over the edge sometimes. So how do people, you know, they just need to make sure they get the you know, how's the proper way to get these things removed?
Well, Dr. Huggins was the one that I followed his protocol, and he developed a system of isolating the tooth with either a rubber dam or a cleanup device, which is a Teflon box that fits over the tooth, and removing the fillings by the quadrant. Also doing biocompatibility of the materials. We see a lot of chemically sensitive people here. Yeah. And so we're very, very cognizant about what materials go in the mouth, the resins, the composites, the ceramics, the cements, the anesthetics. And there are various ways to check biocompatibility. There are labs that will do this. There's the Jess Clifford lab in Colorado. That you send a blood sample to. Huggins, Dr. Huggins, even though he's passed now, I believe he still has his lab in Colorado Springs. Other practitioners, muscle test. But it's best to do something than nothing to make sure that's the appropriate material for you.
Yeah, because that's something else that people don't think about, is that some of these materials, your body can have a reaction to some of the materials. Even though they're good, basically, materials, you can still have a reaction to those in your mouth. And if you're putting something in there that's supposed to be permanent, but your body's reacting to it, then that can cause problems. So I'm glad you're bringing this up. Yeah.
Well, there's other things in the mouth. There's electrogalvanism, which is where you have dissimilar metals in the mouth. And that can create a battery flow. I've had patients tell me they touch a fork through their crown and they get a shock.
Wow.
Tell me they hear a radio station or something like this. They were quite sincere. But we weren't built to have a battery in our mouth. And that's one of the things we check, too. That can cause pain, because pain is blocked energy.
Okay.
Listen, and if there's something in the mouth, on the teeth, that's blocking the meridian flow, that certainly can create pain. So we are continually checking the meridian flow on the teeth to see if there's any blockages. And you know what? It doesn't have to be mercury filling. It can be a incompatible composite. It can be a cavity. It can be a misaligned bite, where the teeth are striking too prematurely, too hard, and shutting down the energetic flow. So when people look at this chart that I had referenced on my drwolf.com, the tooth chart, they'll see that the teeth are connected to all these organs, glands, structures, ligaments, and it might start making sense. I say, look at this. I got this knee problem, and look at this tooth here. It's right down that meridian.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot to be learned by looking at that chart.
Yeah, let's talk about
what I want.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I wanted to point out something a while ago. I hit on a little bit too lightly, and it's an important point, that when amalgam was developed, organized dentistry in this country was the American Society of Dental Surgeons, and the American Dental Association wasn't formed yet. And members were required to sign a pledge promising not to use mercury fillings. They were onto it that early.
Yeah, but what happened?
1859, the American Dental Association was formed, and the ADA supported the use of silver amalgam fillings as the filling of choice. And, of course, they've maintained the patent, trademark, whatever on it ever since. And It's been, as most things are, a political issue ever since.
Why did they do that? Why do you think they did that? I mean, they've got to have known mercury was dangerous back then.
Well, do you remember the story of quacks? I mean, do you remember a doctor being a quack?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the reason they were quacks, this was in Scandinavia, was these were doctors that treated patients with syphilis, and they treated those patients with mercury baths.
Oh.
And so you wanted to see, the word for mercury in their language is quack silver. And so it's a shortening of the word quacksilver is just quack. And so the quack doctors did the mercury treatments, and if they didn't kill the patient before the syphilis, then they were a success. So, the doctors that were using the mercury fillings were quacks. But now it's us guys sometimes that are on the quote outer fringe that are the quacks.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's the reverse now. And so it's just amazing what you learn when you learn a little bit of history. And it's just as amazing just learning the history of our medical system and how, you know, how all that changed at the turn of the century of the 1900 and who's actually controlling that, you know. And that's why it's so dangerous to put all our faith and confidence in authority figures. You know, that's what we need to do, our own research. Think outside the box.
Well, we need to investigate and conclude for ourselves because, you know, medicine, all aspects of healthcare have become so compartmentalized. There's no just general good old family practitioner anymore.
Yeah.
Your body is partitioned up.
Yeah, and the general practitioner... The general practitioner can, you know, generally we look at the whole body, and it's like you said. Now it's you know, partitioned up, and
it's specialists.
Yeah.
And so I tell my patients all the time, you need to form your team that's going to agree with you, and that's your health team, and you interview them like you would someone going to work on the transmission on your car. You don't know. You just know you feel good about him or not. And that's your team. And you may be here interviewing me, and I suggest you interview some other people too, and put your team together and then get strong.
Yeah, because
we don't need to sit around waiting.
Yeah, you're
hiring
them.
That's right. I tell my patient, I work for you. Do you remember Norman Cousins?
I do.
He was editor of the Saturday Evening Post, and he wrote this book called Anatomy of an Illness.
Of an illness, I have it.
And good, everybody should have it. Because he has a quote in there that says, a terminal prognosis from a physician is enough to kill you.
Very good.
If you think about that, you know, here comes a guy, you know, with an MD, which stands for Major Deity, and says,
yeah, I thought about
you're going to die in 3 months. Now, you think to yourself, who am I to counteract this guy? I mean, he's got all the degrees, he's got all the learning. Well, really, he's just looking for a label, you know, to label. I mean, his victory is to label what he sees in all the tests and say, you have, fill in the label. So people shouldn't ever see themselves as a label. One of my teachers says, your little cells know what that label is.
Right.
And, do not think of yourself as a label. This is just what your body is doing about trying to reach homeostasis, get back to balance.
Yeah.
And we call that a symptom.
Yeah, the body's always trying to reach homeostasis.
There and on homeostasis. That's right. And so as this happens, you develop symptoms. You're detoxifying, you're throwing off stuff. You know, the skin's the last frontier of detoxification. That should be good news. But when we get skin rashes and things, oh my God, we got to suppress that. Not necessarily. You know, it's just something that people need to surround themselves with people who believe like they do and let the body heal itself. I've never healed anybody. 45 years I've practiced dentistry. I've never healed anybody. I just eliminate the roadblocks, the obstacles. The body heals itself. You know, it's just dentistry is a big interference field. So once you eliminate some of these chronic infected teeth, once you get some of these materials out that are not compatible, once you get the bite right, big deal to get the biomechanical balance of the bite and the sacrum in line. There's a lot of those stories on my website on the testimonials about changing people's bites and getting them aligned and see what they've been dealing with. So dentistry is much more than just filling holes and being a tooth mechanic.
Yeah, and it's very important that people get the right kind of dentist to do the work that needs to be done.
Well, I've got on my drwolf.com, go there, and there's a links page, and it links all the major organizations, the alternative organizations, Holistic Dental Association, International Association of Oral Medicine, Toxicology, and Academy of Biological Dentistry, et cetera, et cetera. And all these organizations have members that they can... your listeners can look up and find a dentist in their area that's a member of these organizations. And that's a pretty good start to find somebody that has this kind of consciousness.
Yeah, and that's drwolf.com that you can go and find a biological dentist and any number of people that can help you with your health to clean up some of this these problems in your mouth.
Yes, drwolfe, no period, just drwolfe.com.
Okay, and with that, we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about root canals and what's the big deal with those. So we will be right back. This is Beverly Butler, and you're listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And again, be sure and follow me on Twitter at Podcast for Life, and to sign up for my newsletter, just go to themisdiagnosedlife.com, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutLoud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm talking to Dr. Wolf today, and we are talking about biological dentistry and these and how it can help us have healthier teeth and a healthier mouth. And we're talking about these infections that can go undiagnosed that can cause a number of problems throughout our whole body. And I want to talk about root canals. There's a big thing about root canals now, and I, you know, I've talked to some people, and they say, I'm about to get a root canal, and a friend of mine was going to have a root canal, and I said, you know, you might want to do a little research on that. I really don't think you want to get one. So he did his research, and then he found him, and he came back. He found a biological dentist. He came back and talked to me and said, thank you so much for telling me about that, because they have linked root canals to certain cancers. And I want you to tell us how is that. Of course, I'm sure it has to do with the meridians and all that, but let's talk about that just a minute, about root canals and how dangerous they are.
Well, when you have a root canal, you have a dead tooth, a dead body part. It used to be self, and now it's non-self. if that were a dead toe, they'd amputate it. But dentistry keeps dead body parts. Now, maybe your immune system's up for having one or two. But knowing, as you look at that chart, that each tooth is connected to an organ, it would be helpful if you had your chiropractor, acupuncturist, or a friend, or if you had a biological dentist, do a little muscle testing with you and see how that meridian, if that meridian is healthful, if it's flowing well, if in your muscle testing the arm gets weak or if it's strong. There's a little article on my drwolf.com about how to muscle test. It's, I think it's called Your Body's Talking to You, Are You Listening? And there's also a great book on muscle testing that you can use for many things besides your health. It's called Your Body Doesn't Lie. And it's by Dr. John Diamond, MD. It was written back in the 70s, but it's still a wonderful book. You can get it on Amazon. Your Body Doesn't Lie.
Yes, and I think the muscle testing is really, really good when you really learn how to do it. And that is something mm-hmm. everybody would be good for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, do it at the grocery store. I mean, figure, you know, do I want to put this in my body or this in my body? And start talking to your body. It wants to talk to you.
Right, because even though you have different foods and supplements and various things that's good, they're good within themselves, but it might not work for you because everybody's different. And then if you can muscle test, you mm-hmm. can muscle test to see if it works for you or not. So that would help. That would help a whole lot on people's health and how we feel. So I'm glad you brought up that book. And again, the book is Your Body Doesn't Lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Root canal teeth, you know, can be a problem because they're organic, and you got the issues of organic degeneration to be concerned about. Then there's also the issue: are they blocking the meridian, which we just talked about? And if they're blocking the meridian, they're blocking the energetic nourishment to other areas on that. Meridian pathway that you'll see on the chart. Maybe it'll make a difference, maybe it won't, but you should be aware. I myself have had four teeth taken out that needed root canals, even though I used to do many years ago hundreds and hundreds of root canals. I don't anymore. There's a book that if you really want to find out about this, it's called The Root Canal Cover-Up. And it's written by a past friend of mine who did pass. His name was George Meining, M-E-I-N-I-G. And he was actually a founder of the Association of Root Canal Specialists. And at the end of his career, he changed his mind and started doing research in reverse. And it's just a very wonderful book. It's called Root Canal Cover-Up. I know that most root canal have done a very good job of what they're doing. There's some gentleman across the street that if I really have a root canal, I do send the patients over here when they want root canals. I give them a choice. We try to avoid root canals, though. That's the point. When I was a younger dentist, and that tooth still hurt, the only thing I had in my arsenal was, well, we leave that tooth out or have a root canal. Now, we have other things to do.
Yeah, what do you? What is the best alternative to a root canal?
The root canal is because of an inflamed pulp nerve in the tooth. The pulp is the nerve and it contains the arteries and veins. I mean, it's a whole organism. That tooth is my patient. And if it becomes swollen, as it does with trauma or drilling or disease, the nerve will swell and strangle itself, and it won't get its blood and nourishment, and it will actually die. And then it degenerates, and at the extreme, cause an abscess at the base of the tooth. But before that, what we try to do is when we have a nerve exposure, we use homeopathics to try to calm the inflammation so that it doesn't get to that state. And even inject the tooth with homeopathic. We even put magnets on these on the outside of the face, approximating these teeth, usually the north pole of a magnet. And we have them use my aloe vera gel, which we haven't talked about my products yet, but I have a line of products that are specially formulated with my technology that are frequency infused to stimulate the blocked acupuncture meridians. And would have them use the aloe vera oral gel, the surgical gel, and rub it on the tooth to try to stimulate the energetics and reduce the inflammation. And we have very good success with this. I have referred for less root canals in my life than ever.
Yeah, so you're trying to save the tooth by generating...
Save the tooth. Yeah. Right, I have more things I can do. Between, oh, does it still hurt, Mrs. Jones? Well, then you need to go get a root canal.
Yeah.
So, and we have a laser that we use to try to soothe the tooth and calm down the inflammation. And, these are things, hopefully, dentistry is moving more into, you know, palatively treating this nerve instead of just doing a root canal and taking the tooth out.
Yeah, so but why are root canals so dangerous? I mean, is it just pretty much that it just messes up the meridian, or do they tend to get infected, or is it the substance they use to do the root canal? I don't even know what they use to do root canals. Is that dangerous?
Well, they usually use a rubberized material called gutta percha and pack that into the canal. But the problem with the root canal is you can't sterilize the entire tooth because they have all these lateral dental tubules, very microscopic, that bacteria can hide in. And the central core can be filled up, but the entirety of all the open areas can't be. So even to the best efforts of the root canal specialists, it's just a problematic situation. Not all root canals show chronic infections. Not all root canals show a lot of inflammation, but all root canals, I feel, should be checked, and we do check all of them. They come through our office to see if they're energetic focus on the meridian.
Okay, if a root canal is infected, what do you do? Can you treat that and still leave the root canal in there? Do you have to just take it out?
If it's infected and you see it on the x-ray, a dark area on the x-ray, means that the bone is being metabolized at the end of the root, then that's pretty condemning. It needs to come out because that means there's a chronically infected root tip.
Okay. What do you do then? Do they just have a missing tooth, or can you put like a false tooth in
there?
Well,
sure. We do that all the time. Yeah. Take the tooth out and make a little temporary appliance to cover the surgery area and hold the space until they can come back and have a bridge.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, what about the caps? The caps on teeth? Another article also in that talked about, this was in Natural Health 365, talked about how dental crowns. Some dentists are getting the crowns from China, and they're contaminated with lead and other toxic chemicals. I mean, high levels of lead. They're just cheap crowns. And, so what's going on with this? And do people need to make sure, and it seemed to me like we need to make sure we know where our dentists are getting the crowns from?
Well, I think that'd be a good idea. you know, here we get back to biocompatibility testing. You know, we would have, in this office, pre-checked everyone with materials we were going to use. And we don't use anything that's, we don't use crowns from China. Our crowns are made right upstairs where our dental lab tape. But I think it's a good idea to ask questions and find out, you know, where the materials that are going to leave in your mouth are coming from. I have only heard stories as you related to me. I can't verify that, but you know, it's something that I know that there are labs that send their work overseas, and I don't use those labs. So
that's good. So, but if they go to a dentist that uses biocompatibility testing, then that's really the best way to, you can always ask questions as well, but that's one of the best ways to make sure you're getting the proper material that's suited to you. And of course, biocompatible testing, just make sure that it works with your body. Yeah.
Now, and what about, your body's changing over time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that makes it more complicated too, because our body does change, and that
right.
kind of thing. So that can add more.
See, issues. Anything in your mouth is a foreign object, and your immune system's going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So you want to minimize the number of foreign objects. In other words, once you have picked out a restorative material, a composite, use that one. That is your, and we do that for people. We develop a dental menu for them that if they check with Z100, then that's all they get. They don't get different, dissimilar materials because it's more things than the immune system has to deal with.
Okay.
So know that anything in the mouth is non-self, and it's going to use the immune system to have to deal with it. So you want things that are mellow and not aggressive to the immune system.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But our immune system is overworked as it is, so what we want to do is make it easy on the immune system. Well, in the last few minutes that we have, the time that we have left, I want to talk about fluoride. Now, fluoride is, more and more people are waking up to that. But, you know, and they say that actually, you know, the fluoride is, well, it's a toxin. It's a toxic poison. And the only, if you want to say it does any good, it may, they have done some research, and it may, you know, sometimes dentists use it, especially for children, to coat the teeth to kind of protect it. And they say some studies have shown that that's really the only benefit for fluoride. Fluoride really doesn't prevent cavities unless you use it maybe as a coating, but again, it's just a coating. You could use other stuff, I'm sure. So what about what about fluoride? I mean, fluoride is very dangerous. Or is there still a lot of dentists using fluoride? I mean, more and more people are waking up to this.
Yes, there are. I haven't used fluoride in 45 years, but it's more than just topical usage, which the original investigation was on topical usage of fluoride for indigent children that never saw the dentist. I know this to be true because my dental professor at Baylor College of Dentistry told me that story when he was in the National Health Institute, and he would see children down in the valley of Texas from indigent farm workers, and they would give them fluoride treatments. But he said it was never meant to be a wide scale in everything, and certainly putting it in our water is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, and we're just all being slowly poisoned, and that's just one of the many ways that that's happening. Well, Dr. Wolf, I really appreciate your time and your information that you've presented on the show here, and for your hard work and all that you're doing, and for actually practicing good dentistry. To find out more about Dr. Wolf, you can go to drwolf.com. That's drwolfe.com to get more information. He has a lot of information on his website, and it would be really good to go to just to educate yourself as to what's going on in dentistry and how to, you know, what you need to do to really take
care of your teeth. And to pick out a dentist in your area, because I have a link to the major associations. And also, if you want some fluoride, chloride free toothpaste. We make a couple of them, and they're on there too.
So he's got some good products you can check out, and to find a biological dentist, you can go to his website and find one in your area. We're not giving medical advice. This is for informational purposes only. And again, thank you, Dr. Wolf, and thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.